Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. And a lot of you are there right now watching and listening to the show. We so appreciate it. And I just want to thank everyone for becoming Friends with Benefits members. And you get to see the show 4 days a week, watch it, listen to it on demand whenever you want. Special prizes, special attention. There's so much you get. So thanks, everyone, for checking out the show. Hey, Menace, what's up?
What's going on?
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Everybody around me is getting sick.
Really? Oh, me too. A few people have texted me that they're sick.
So it's kind of like getting on to me, right?
Oh, no, you're sick?
No, I'm not sick. I'm like kind of just getting over it.
Okay.
I've been fighting it.
Right.
Because I ain't a bitch. I ain't going out like that.
Right.
You know? But.
I ain't no bitch.
For the past couple of nights, I've been taking NyQuil.
Oh. Right?
And I've been having these crazy dreams. Sex dreams.
Awesome. Like what? Tell me everything.
Now,
Let's figure this out.
Because I've always, like, my sex dreams, something always happens and I never actually have sex in my dreams. Ever.
Okay. Just like life.
And I just wake up and nothing ever happens.
Okay.
All right. But for the past two nights, I've been hopped up on NyQuil. And it's like full on sex dreams, but it's like past, it's like ex-girlfriends. Because you know me, I never fantasize about celebrities or anything like that. Just past experience. Yeah. And it was just last night, it was just crazy. It was with one of my exes and we're at this house and we're having sex on the couch like crazy. And
what does that mean, crazy? Crazy how? What were you doing that was crazy?
Full on, like really aggressive.
Right?
Sex, you know.
Was it hot?
It was really hot. Like,
awesome.
Her on top, I'm on top, all this crazy stuff. And then I was like, oh, you know, I got to go to a work party. And it was very bizarre. And where I go into this warehouse and there's all these, all like my coworkers and they were bowling.
Okay.
That's so weird.
You should stick to this NyQuil thing.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then the night before that was with another ex-girlfriend and it was just... It was very bizarre.
That is bizarre. Are they women that you still are in touch with, or
not last night? I haven't talked to her in a couple of years.
Like, do you wake up with you?
Like, no, I don't have like nocturnal emissions or anything like that. But it's just
use the official term.
It's just really. It was really bizarre because you know dreams. You don't know it's a dream until later. You think it's real life.
Exactly.
So it's just
that's awesome.
Crazy.
So it's like you've been getting laid the last few nights.
Yeah. NyQuil's awesome.
That's really cool. I should take some NyQuil. I don't have a lot of sex dreams. Maybe because I like talk about sex and think about sex all the time. But I'm sorry you're getting sick. My intern was sick yesterday. People are getting sick. Don't be sick. Don't. You can be sick tomorrow because we're not here. But you should. We are here. There's a show playing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But don't be sick on Thursday or Friday because we've got great shows coming
up
this
week. I haven't called in sick.
Oh, all right. Ever.
Since 2001.
Right. That's crazy. 10 years. That's crazy. I guess I haven't either because I've worked for myself.
Nah.
Never sick. No. But okay, today's show, I'm very excited. We've got author Stanley Siegel on the show. He wrote a book called Your Brain on Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life. And some of the things we're going to be talking about is, and I love these topics, is about chemistry, like why we experience chemistry with certain people and how we can actually find those people in our life that we can have chemistry with, what your sexual fantasies mean, how you can find, how can you use sex to find the right life partner rather than the other way around. Some people find a partner and the sex isn't good, but how you can actually use sex to find life. So anyway, he's got some good things. What does your past life have to do with sex now? Should you act out your sexual fantasies? So awesome. We're going to be talking to him in a little bit. And then tomorrow's show, Sex Myths Debunked. And then we've got our number here. You can call us at 415-992-7392. If you have any questions or comments for us, you can always leave it on our voicemail or you can call us during the show. That's 415-992-7392, and we'll play your message on the air if it's good and interesting. Comments, questions, points that you'd like to make.
Yeah.
And don't forget about Free Fridays. Our show is free to all on Friday. And our latest poll, I'm going to give you the results of our most recent poll. And I'm sort of disappointed because it sort of is aligned with what Menace thinks. So I hate when Menace is right, but I can admit it because I'm a strong woman. Do you talk about your sexual exploits with your friends? 15% said, I'm a man and with my buddies, I talk about it. 15% said, I'm a woman and I don't kiss and tell. 27% of women said, I'm a woman and that's all we talk about. And 45% said, I'm a man and I keep it to myself.
Goddamn right.
They're probably lying.
Because
I feel like guys always talk about their sex life, but you're right. Maybe they just talk about it to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, every guy I know about his sex life. Like, I know guys, and this is probably inappropriate, to be honest, but I know about their sex life with their wives, like my guy friends who are married. They probably tell me way too much, but that's because that's my job.
Because you're the sex chick. That's why.
I'm the sex chick.
That's the
for better, for worse.
Because, guys, you know, what else are you going to conversate about?
Exactly.
Honestly.
I know people are like, oh, my God, so my wife, I really wanted to try. A lot of it is like, how can I get my wife to do this certain thing? How can I get her to have a threesome? How can I get her to give me oral sex more?
What kind of conversations are you having other than sex and relationships in your daily life?
A lot. I talk about work and business.
Isn't your work and business?
Oh, yeah. It is about sex.
Related? So
I talk about the weather.
The weather.
Clothing sometimes.
Oh.
Not often. I'm not a big shopper. But
cool.
A lot about sex and relationships with my friends and their work and my work. I don't know. What do you talk about? The iPhone?
Oh, 4S? My God. 4S, yes.
What's up
about
with that?
All this morning.
Why 4S and not a 5?
Yeah, people are kind of disappointed. I guess they weren't ready to lay out a huge upgrade, so they did smaller upgrades.
But I'm ready, right? You think I should get this one?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one because it has some options that I've been waiting for.
Like what?
The biggest part
am
is...
Am I going to care? Is it going to make a difference in my life?
It might, because you like shooting video.
Love.
You can shoot high-definition video
No
with
way.
It, right? Well, you can already do that, but the only thing that's been bothering me, there wasn't stabilization.
Okay.
So the camera would be kind of shaky. You know your the flip camera that you love so much that I hated?
Yes.
Well, that didn't have stabilization, so that's why it was so shaky sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Now this new iPhone 4S has stabilization, which I'm excited about it, and it's twice as fast.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yes.
And then and it comes out the 12th?
Yeah. What are you making the new...
Oh, I just made a note of something that came to my brain.
Well, I was telling you about the iPhone 4.
No, I was listening.
You weren't listening.
I was listening. I multitask. I have ADD. Do you know that I was reading about ADD and how to deal with it? And it's like, it's okay to multitask. It's okay to like be talking on the phone and cleaning your house and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you're supposed to. I'm totally in the right.
It's not good for me, though, because I try
to... How do you think I feel when you're on your phone the whole time? I'm reading the news.
No, because I can listen to you like that. But
whatever.
I'm just saying, if it's a chick that I'm really into, it's very hard for me to multitask and, like, talk to them.
Right. I got
it. It's hard.
How is...
But...
Last
night, we're talking about all these sexy photos and all these things. You're like, you don't want the photos to get out and all this stuff. I was looking through the app store last night looking for some new fun apps just to play with.
Okay.
I found this really cool one. It's a 360 photo app. so you can take a photo and it'll do a 360 photo all around you. It's really cool.
That's cool.
But screw all that. We're talking about you're afraid of the photos getting out. Well, they have apps that are hugely popular that you can lock all your photos into.
Oh.
The sexy photos.
Okay.
So
that's hilarious.
They're like even more password protected than your phone already.
So if you take sexy photos, you just upload them to this app somehow?
You're able to delete them off the library of your phone.
Okay.
And you can put them and save them into the app. And then the app has a password, and then you put the password into the app, and then the photos come available.
Oh, okay. That's good. You should do that with all your sex tapes and your photos.
No, I don't really have any sexy photos.
No?
No.
I thought girls send you sexy photos.
No, not really.
Not okay,
anymore.
I still haven't. I'm holding out. I mean, you know that one day I probably will, but I still have never sent a sexy photo before.
If you have sexy photos, send them to me. feedback@sexlyemily.com.
Yeah, send me your sexy photos. feedback@sexlyemily.com if you want to share your sex photos. I won't tell anyone but my audience. Maybe.
You know they're safe with me. I'm not going to put them anywhere.
I wanted to mention, too, that at the beginning of the show, if you're all watching, you know you can watch the show, not just listen. I was showing you my book. I'm really excited because it's coming out October 11th, and today's the 4th, so that's like a week. And it's called Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. You can buy it, pre-order it on Amazon right now. Just search for Hot Sex and Emily, and it'll come up because there's like another book called Hot Sex from years ago that is not my book. And I'm having a book party this Thursday night in San Francisco, 6 to 8 p.m. at Good Vibrations on Mission Street. And then I'm having two parties in L.A. next week if you're in Los Angeles, Wednesday and Thursday night. Wednesday night is at the – I can't remember which night is which, but it's all on my Sex with Emily Facebook page. So go to my Sex with Emily Facebook page and you can see the information.
Wednesday of next week.
Wednesday of next week and Thursday of next week, I've got two parties in L.A.
I wish I was there.
I wish you were there too. You can come. And one night I'm teaching a workshop. 40 things you can try. So I'm teaching I've never done that before, really. Like, I guess I feel like I teach during the show, but I haven't done a real workshop. So I'm doing a lot of stuff. And then we've got Treasure Island Music Festival coming up.
I know.
And that's next weekend in San Francisco. And Madison and I will be there doing a show from there. And we'll have a really fun booth. We're doing this cool interactive booth, this new concept, which I need to share with you, Menace. And that's October 15th and 16th in San Francisco. So, and we'll be sporting our new Sex with Emily t-shirts, including yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting you one.
Okay.
You have to wear it.
All right.
Okay, cool. Anything else that you have to say before I do other stuff?
No,
here?
Download those apps for your iPhone.
To save your sexy photos. Because I contend, and I guess my poll showed that 43% of men keep it to themselves. But I think that men do show other people their pictures.
No.
Whatever.
I have never had any of my guy friends who, believe it or not, get laid constantly with freaky chicks. They never show me any photos of
their
girls.
Do you ever ask them? No. Okay.
No.
I feel that people do.
I don't want to even see them anyways. I'm not interested. Oh, my friend is banging this chick. That makes her off the market. So
yeah,
I'm not
you're like,
interested.
I don't want to see her. Right.
Not interested. I don't care if she's like super hot. I don't care.
Right. And it's harder for guys to send sexy pictures. So I feel like this is all on the women, right? Like guys, I don't want to see a guy naked with a boner in my phone when I'm in the middle of the day. But, okay, I just don't. So, also, what else was I going to say? Okay, I guess that's all. We can get into some sex in the news.
All right.
Because this first story is very interesting. Why are women more promiscuous than ever?
Because Paris Hilton.
No, right, exactly. She was the first sex tape diva, right? Before Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, she was. That was one of the first big ones.
I mean, that's why she launched her career. Oh, yeah, Pam Anderson. Okay, a new study found that more than 25% of women are having sex within the first week of dating someone. In the past, men had to woo and pay for dinner to get some action. Those days seem to be long gone. Men are doing very little to get the sexual gratification that decades ago would have cost them time and money. They found out that only 30% of young men's relationships don't even involve an ounce of romance and no courting, no candles, no standing outside of windows and boomboxes, just sex.
Wow.
I know. For one, gender equality comes into play with the balance between men and women evening out the workplace, and financially women are behaving in ways that were once stereotypically male. How about that?
Yeah.
It's actually been studied now. So, and at U.S. colleges, 50% of the students are women. And there's more women competing for men's affections. I feel like in college I definitely held out like for a long time, but I guess students aren't now. I don't know. I should ask my interns because they're all in college.
No, none of them are holding out anymore.
Really?
No.
You would know because you date women it's that age like probably. So they don't hold out?
No, they don't.
Like a week
this
is
like
a long
a diamond,
time.
That's like a diamond you'll find in a mountain somewhere.
And it's almost like do you appreciate if a woman does hold out?
I totally do.
I think I don't like the study. This is very disturbing to me because I think that women should hold out.
The ones that I hate is because there's quite a few of them. The ones that act like total sluts, like they talk and their actions.
Right.
They're all talk and then they don't. They're like total virgins and purists. Like, don't act like a slut if you're not a slut.
Right.
Act like.
That's annoying. Yeah. That's an annoying trait. But just don't be a slut or act like a slut. Don't do either. Wait, there's no reason to rush into sex. I do not see any benefits to having sex. And I think it all has to do with alcohol. I think people have one or two drinks.
I think it's a lot of this, and I hate to be one of these people that hates the media because I work in media and I love it and I love all these crappy reality shows. But I think a lot of it, people are not smart enough and it's glamorized. Like it's
sex.
It's glamorized as it's okay and it's fun.
Right.
I'm laughing at these people. You know?
Yeah. I think it was better. It was pure. You got to know somebody. It's like I've said this the last few weeks, and I think when my mom was on the show, we were talking about this too, is that it's like we become a trap because when you have sex, it's not just like you shouldn't because then he'll respect you more. I mean, that's true, I think, and you'll respect yourself more. But also, once you start having sex, then sex becomes the thing. The chemistry, the attraction you have, the chemicals in your brain going crazy, and you really women especially have the oxytocin, which rises, and which is the cuddle hormone, they call it. And after you have sex with someone, you become more attached to them. And so you actually are becoming more attached to this person who might be totally wrong for you. But since you've had sex with them and his penis was in your vagina, you stop looking at like maybe the red flags or the things that are wrong with this guy. And then because you had sex too quickly. So people should hold out. I'm going to start a crusade. Just like I'm bringing back the hand job.
Yeah. Which is never going to happen.
Yes,
so
it is.
You should start this new crusade. So how's it going to go?
I think that women should, I think I'm going to have them wait at least a month before sleeping with someone. And that you should write to me. You should listen to me, listen to what I'm saying, and you should wait at least a month.
How many times does the guy hang out with you that month?
I'm going to crusade it. What?
How many times?
Once or twice a week.
Okay. Cool. Because, you know, they said, oh, you got to sleep with a guy by the third date or something.
That's
like
what's
that.
Common. That's what our web, when we did a poll a few weeks ago, I think it was by the third date people were sleeping together.
Which is crazy because back then it's just like you couldn't even have sex until you were married.
I know. That's what my mom was saying. The first guy she slept with was my dad.
It's crazy.
But that didn't work out, that marriage. So you don't know. I'm not against premarital sex. I'm against sex too quickly. So, and it also says that these statistics are making men quicker to have sex in our relationships these days and slower to commitment and just plain pickier. So they're like, I'll have sex with you, but I'm not going to commit and I'm going to be more picky because there's a lot of other women to bang around here. So just women, you should think about it before you sleep with someone right away. Of course he's going to try. He's always going to try to sleep with you. Just wait. Okay. Seth Rogen and Lauren Miller's nonstop fun wedding. Seth Rogen, 29, married his longtime girlfriend, writer Lauren Miller, at Cunde Estate in Sonoma, California over the weekend. They've been dating since 2004 when they both worked as writers on the HBO's The Ali G Show. Did you know that? The wedding was more laughs than anything else. Every other line was a joke and the crowd couldn't contain their laughter. It was nonstop fun.
That sounds really cool.
I know, right? Seth popped the question in 2010 and appeared on Conan O'Brien to reveal all the details. Literally, I felt like someone had given me a truckload of heroin to hold on to, he said. I felt like the feds were going to kick my door in a second. I couldn't have a conversation with my girlfriend. All I could think about was the ring when he proposed to her. So that's good. They just had a wedding. Congratulations.
That's really
That would
cool.
be a really fun wedding. If you think they produce these movies for a living, I'm sure the wedding was like a production of just comedy of fun.
Yeah, he's a really fun guy. So
yeah, you just met him, right?
Yeah. I've seen pictures of them together. They seem like a happy couple.
I like happy couples.
How long were they dating again?
Since 2004.
2004.
That's a good run.
7 years.
7 years is a long time. Yeah, I've never done that. Have you dated someone for 7 years?
7 years?
No. What's your longest relationship?
I've had 2 3-year relationships.
Well, that's good.
And one.
And you've lived with chicks, too.
1 year. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Healthy.
I'm easy to get along with. Just don't be crazy, and it's all good.
You just date the wrong women who are crazy.
No.
I hope I've taught you stuff. Like, I hope you listen to me when you're picking these chicks. You're like, she'll be the psycho one who doesn't let me work.
No, they're not that. It's not like they're psycho and they're crazy and all that stuff. They're just weird because they want to spend more time with me.
I know. How annoying is that?
Know,
a chick who wants to spend more time with you.
So annoying.
So annoying. No, I've had that too with men that I've dated who have wanted to. They didn't understand that my work came first.
Mm-hmm.
which it always does.
I just like it when, but when we are together, like we're together and we're right. having fun.
As long as you make time for her.
Yeah. I just don't, I hated like the time that I actually had time to hang out. It's like we're fighting because I didn't have time.
I know. And you had that pattern over and over again. So you're not going to do that again. Okay. Anna Faris on her number. Anna Faris has some pretty solid romantic advice. Be in the romantic advice. Be in the moment, love your partner, and whenever you do, don't ask the question, she says with her trademark raspy laugh. The adorable Anna 34 plays a young woman named Allie Darling who figures her number of sexual partners, 20, is way too high and a vow not to hook up again until she finds true love. She sets out to revisit her exes and find out what went wrong and if one of them is in fact the one. So don't ever tell your partner how many people you've slept with. We have this conversation a lot on the show, and I say that. Don't ever. He's going to ask. She's going to ask. It does not serve you well.
No.
It never, ever serves you well. No one needs to know the number. It'll only make him think of all those penises in the room. I always picture that. Like, if I gave you a number, you'd be like, wow, that's some penises. Like, you can't get out of your mind. It doesn't help. I mean, can you think of one scenario why that's helpful?
Nope.
Never.
It isn't.
Don't do it. Don't have the question. But I love that there's a movie about it. Okay, Jason Biggs' wife bought him a sex worker for his birthday. Jason Biggs from American Pie?
Yeah.
His wife, Jenny Mullen, bought the star a hooker for his 33rd birthday.
What? No.
The American Pie star's spouse has written a blog for Playboy revealing she wanted to treat Biggs and spice up their sex life by hiring a sex worker. But she details one disastrous incident when the couple tried to hire a prostitute, only to realize the woman was a professional masseuse.
Oh, no.
Eventually, they did get a hooker named Keisha. I wonder if that's her real name. And she detailed the experience online. So she said the chick was wearing 5-inch heels and had tits that seriously could have knocked anybody under 6 feet tall unconscious. There was no way she was passing for anything other than maybe Barbarella. In other words, she was hot. I took my cues from the previous disaster and cut to the chase. We want you to go down on him for $600, she proclaimed.
What?
Yep. She didn't bat an eye. Wow. So this is pretty adventurous.
She
writes
watched?
For Playboy. Yeah, she watched it. She watched it, directed it, and hired the prostitute for Jason Biggs, his wife. She's a writer for Playboy.
That's a kind wife.
You think? Would you want to do that? If your girlfriend said to you, Menace, I'd like to get you a prostitute to give you perform oral sex on you tonight, and she's going to be hot, what would you say?
Not a prostitute.
How about?
If it was some like, I'm going to find a chick. Maybe. Yeah. I go, yeah, fine, whatever.
Really? If she's down with it?
Yeah. But if it was the other way around, oh, you know, I want to get a dude to go down on me.
Of course not. No guys are ever cool with that.
Not going to happen.
That's really cool. I wonder how long they've been together that she did that.
I think
that's cool. Some people probably think that's insane. I think that you got to do a lot of things to spice up your sex life. Drastic. Yeah. That's like why my book, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. Uh-huh. There really are tips in here that you can change your sex life with.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Pick a page.
I should do that. I've been meaning to do that. Pick a page. Okay. There's so many pages.
Just pick one right now.
Okay, ready?
There you go.
Okay. Well, not – okay, this is – well, not every sex session absolutely has to end with an orgasm. It's certainly a nice bit of punctuation at the end. The big bang may occur as a result of penetration, but you may want to experiment with a range of other techniques. Oh, I love this page that I picked. You can explore vibrators, dildos, and other sex toys. I picked the sex toy page. Before, but don't forget to hold your hands and even your feet. You can enhance your sex life and celebrate your connection with every part of your body and then some. So this page talks about using your feet for orgasms and sex toys.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of sex toys, if you want a sex toy, you can go to adamandeve.com and you can get any sex toy you want under the sun. I recommend the Hitachi Magic Wand, the Rabbit, or a vibrating ring, which is for your partner and you to experience together. If you go to adamandeve.com, use coupon code Emily at checkout. You get 50% off most items, 3 adult DVDs, free shipping, and a free gift, which is such a good deal. So go do that today.
And then are you going somewhere else for the book signing? Or is that
New York.
It's New York.
Yeah, but that's at the end of the month.
I want to go to the New York one.
Do you?
I really
come
because
with
I
me.
Love New York.
I know. I'm so excited to go to New York at the end of the month. I'll come back with details about that. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing, but I'm going to be doing a lot of radio shows and stuff like that.
I love New York.
I love New York, too. Okay. UK model Katie Price ditches Leandro for lack of sex. Katie Price has dumped her Argentinian toy boy because he could not keep up with her sex drive, the Sun can reveal. The model, 33, paid a translator to break it to Leandro Penda that he wasn't satisfying her. So obviously they weren't communicating sexually or really. Mm-hmm. Like, she had to hire a translator to dump him. She also got that. Why would you hire someone? Why would you date someone you couldn't speak to? You'd think that the reason you were together is because the sex was so amazing.
Yeah.
She also got the hired Spanish speaker to tell Leo, 25, that she was bored with their 7-month romance and they had nothing in common. A family friend said they hadn't had a sexual relationship for some time and it drove her crazy. She has an enormous sexual appetite and he wasn't the one that could keep her interested.
So you just had to have somebody along?
She had to have someone dump him? That makes no sense to me.
But then they always had to have somebody like there just to communicate with each other?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's weird.
And you're not having good sex. Like, I would date someone. Like, I've hooked up with guys that didn't speak English very well when I was traveling, when I was doing my thing.
Your adventurous thing.
My adventurous thing through Asia. But the sex was always good. And I didn't care if we talked. But this sounds like there was not a win-win here at all.
Yeah. Would you date anybody that didn't speak English at all?
What
about if they were like
sexist.
Super hot? They were like a chiseled man.
Can I tell you why I probably wouldn't?
Why?
Because I'm so attracted to the male mind and how a guy talks. And
no, how is he going to give you compliments?
How is he going to compliment me and tell me all the things I need to hear about myself?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It would not work for me.
That was a dumb question.
That was a dumb question. But what I was going to say was not necessarily about the compliments thing, but just that I love the dialogue with the guy is what turns me on. Mm-hmm. And so that would be lost. I actually tried. I was in Italy one summer and there was the hottest Italian man. He was dating Miss Italy and I got fixed up with him with someone and he was so hot and he had a yacht and I was on another yacht and he came like racing across the ocean in his boat to pick me up. It was this amazing thing. And everyone was like, oh my God, he's coming to get you. And he was the hottest guy in Italy, seriously. And we met up and he didn't speak English very well. And I went on his boat and he made me dinner and it was beautiful. And he couldn't speak English, didn't understand me. And I was not attracted to him and couldn't do anything. Like I would have had sex with him probably.
What?
Yeah, but I didn't even kiss him because I was like, I don't understand. So probably the answer is no. I need to know someone. I need to communicate with them.
I have a friend in Italy, and I was reading a lot about Italy today.
Why?
Do you know they have two small countries within Italy? The smallest country in the world?
What, Sicily?
What
else?
I was reading so many facts about Italy today. And do you know that they have over 58 million people that live there?
Yeah, Italy's amazing. Have you been?
No.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
thinking
amazing.
About it.
You should go.
Because, you know, I have left the country. I just don't know how to
you
get
back. You need to take vacation. Have you ever had vacation since 2001?
No.
Yeah. No 6 days, sick days and no vacation.
No.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it.
You should. Italy's amazing. It's very
romantic.
I just
don't know how to get there. I don't know what airline to take.
I'll help you.
I don't know
Wherever
how to get
Where you get miles?
It.
Do you have miles on airlines?
No.
We got to talk. You got to get miles on airlines. So
why?
Because then you get free trips. Your credit card should get you miles. You should have a credit card that gives you miles
I don't
back.
Use credit cards. They get you in trouble. Don't
That's
have
true.
Any.
Okay, have, so this is not going to be useful.
Why
then.
Not? I have a job. I can buy an airline
That's
ticket.
That's true. You should do that then. Go to Orbitz. And then search Italy flights.
I've tried that. It doesn't work that well.
Oh, it
and
is
I don't know how to get a passport. How do you get
There's
this
a,
passport
The U.S.
Thing?
Passport Agency is on Hawthorne Street down like right around the corner because I went there once years ago.
See, this is where you can help me. You know how I
you know how you
DVD?
Help me with 99% of my life?
Yeah. You know how I do all the electronic things and I press the buttons and all this stuff?
I love how you do that.
Just take me to get the passport
thing. Totally. Done and done. You got to go to like Walgreens or something and get the photos taken, those little photos. And then you go to the passport agency and you fill some paperwork out. I'll help you.
Sweet.
Promise. Just remind me. Send me an email.
All right.
A text. Okay. We've got some – speaking of which, we've got some emails. We could get into that.
Okay.
A few emails.
I love hearing from the people.
I know. I love hearing from the people too. And then we can call our guest in a few minutes.
What's our guest again?
Our guest – oh, let's – thank you. I will tell you who our guest is again. Our guest is Stanley Siegel and he is – He wrote a book called Your Brain on Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life. And I can't wait to talk to
Sounds
him.
Sounds sexy, being smart and junk.
No, it's being smart about the sex that you have and how the sex that you have can help you find a partner. How can you use sex to find the right life partner? Why do we feel chemistry with some people and not others? Like that alone, why do we feel chemistry? Like don't you feel that you – there's just some people that you're like think that you're going to have amazing chemistry and you don't. Don't you always want to know why? Like why? Why are you attracted to some people and not others? Like, there could be, like, a hot chick and you guys hook up and you're like, oh, there was no chemistry. Have you
yeah,
felt that?
Because they're boring.
Or you're always drunk. But if you're not drunk, do you know what I mean?
No, because it's just – it's all about the conversation, though.
Yeah?
Really?
Do you think that it too?
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, good, Menace. I thought it was about her breasts or something.
No, come on. You know I'm not like that.
I don't know anything about you. Okay. I have a comment about your podcasts. I watched your show with your mother on Thursday, which was great. It was great to have a guest who would talk about financial issues and relationships. I've never heard your show address these issues other than not being cheap on first dates. For younger people, financial issues are becoming such a big part of sex and dating. Can you imagine two unemployed people trying to have a baby, especially in these tough economic times?
That's what I'm saying.
Friday's podcast, Free Fridays with Evermark Katz, was great. He offered so much dating advice. The best insight was to read and apply How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. That's from Edwin in Palmetto Bay, Florida. Thanks, Edwin. I totally agree that those were two great shows last week. So if you missed them, Thursday my mom was on the show. And she didn't talk about her sex life this time like she did last time. But she did give – she's a financial planner, a successful financial planner. And just what she said was that couples – the biggest thing in relationships are sex and money. Couples don't talk about sex and they don't talk about money. And that is what is can be their demise. And that couples really need to talk about money. Some people are spenders. Some people are savers. Some people are cheap. Some people aren't. They have separate bank accounts. So I thought it was a very interesting conversation. And then Friday – was our Free Friday show. You can check that out on our website right now. Anyone can listen to that with Evan Markatz about dating. And he's a great dating coach.
Yeah.
He helps people with so many issues,
mostly
women. I got
some really good advice from your mother. That made me reevaluate some things.
What? What'd you get?
Spending money. Just, you know, there were some things I wanted to spend some money on and, like, and you know, maybe start up and, like, invest kind of. And she's like, your mom was like, oh, well, she was using an example. Well, you got to make sure all your debts are paid off first before you start thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I still have like very small debt, but
college
I was like,
debt,
yeah, that's right. I should pay that off first before I go around and spending.
And she
money
said to you
things.
When she was leaving, she'd give you free financial advice.
Yeah.
Maybe. And she's helped a ton of my friends. If you ever just want to shoot her an email, she's really smart with that stuff.
Yeah, it was really cool. So
she doesn't
I got
help
a lot
me that
from
much,
it.
But she helps my friends a lot.
And so I opened up actually for my travel because I travel a lot just within the United States.
Right.
So I have another account that I'm just putting money into for travel so I don't screw myself because sometimes a lot of these music festivals I go to, they're like back to back.
Right.
So the next thing I know, like I've already spent like $6,000.
Doesn't your company pay you for it?
No, they cover like
basics.
Just me getting into the festival and all the other stuff. No
radio,
travel.
Radio, love radio.
No travel expenses. So, like, next thing I know, like, I've spent, like, $6,000.
Jesus.
You know?
They better
That's
pay
crazy.
You need a raise or something. They should I hope they appreciate you a lot. They do, don't they?
Hopefully.
Okay, Emily, my wife and I are interested in going to sex clubs, but we don't know of any in our area, Seattle, Tacoma. Is there any website that we can go to for information, or do you know of any places? Thank you, Ty and Steph from Pulley Up. Puyallup, Washington.
All right.
Okay, here's some local Washington spots. One is sexpositiveculture.org is a great website, sexpositiveculture.org. It's a great place for events like sex club events and adult festivals for the Seattle community. Their goal is to produce experiential events where members can explore their sexual interests in a physically and emotionally safe environment. These forums include such topics as rope bondage you can actually use. And then there's another one called Original Circles, and it's a social intimate dance club for open-minded sex-positive adults. So I would start there. I would start at those places. Just a little research. Every town's got their sex clubs.
Yeah.
Just ask me. I'll find them for you. No problem. And I'm trying to think. Should we call our guests? We'll call our guests in a minute. Okay. Hey, E and Menace. Hey, E and Men, he said.
Wow. Getting little nicknames and everything.
Yep. Emily, when are you going to get on Google Plus so I can friend you? Have a good one. Your friend from Michigan, Ken. Are you on Google Plus?
I am on Google Plus.
So he's probably your friend and not mine. I don't even know. I love that this show's like Sex and Tech with Emily Menace.
Yeah, it's Google Plus. I use it. I use it maybe every other day. It's another social network. Kind of like a Facebook. It's just not as popular as Facebook yet.
Like I need another social network like a hole in my head.
Yeah, the app is not too fast enough for me yet me to get super excited. I really want the app like integrated in a lot of tools that I use.
Okay.
I'm talking geek right now.
Yeah. I'm like tuned out thinking
like,
about lunch.
I would be really hyped to
hyped off Google Plus if it integrated with Hootsuite, because Hootsuite is something that I use daily to manage all my social networks. And it doesn't Google Plus doesn't have the API with Hootsuite yet, so I'm not using it as much.
Okay.
Should you be on it? Yeah, of course you should be on it. You should have a profile on there.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Google Plus. I'll do it, Ken. Ken from Michigan. Okay, let's call our guest. I'm really excited to talk to him. Then we can get back to emails if need be. Here's the phone number.
Oh, do you know something else that I'm going to be dialing this, but we're going to be talking while I'm dialing?
What?
Is I posted up on my blog, whitemenace.com, today was the most female-dominated cities in America.
Where are they? Well, gotta go to your blog and find out.
Go to my blog. Yeah.
Are we in San Francisco? No, we're not.
No, it's not.
New York?
No, it's a lot of cities that you probably never even heard of.
No, I don't know.
No.
Okay, check out your blog. Everyone go check out his blog, White Menace. You can find me on Twitter, too, and Facebook, Sex with Emily. I don't plug that enough. I haven't plugged that in a really long time.
You haven't?
Sex with Emily, Twitter, Facebook. Follow me ASAP. Do whatever.
All right.
Be my fan of my page.
Let's try this.
Okay. So we're calling Stanley Siegel. His book is Your Brain on Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life. Stanley is a psychotherapist in New York City. He's an international lecturer and former director of education. He's written two.
You dialed has been changed.
All right.
Okay. Let me make sure I wrote it down right.
I am
91.
Yeah.
We look at this, make sure this is, I could have messed up.
All right. Yeah, let me try it again.
Okay. So anyway, he has written a book and he's often described as the therapist to the celebrities.
Really?
I wonder which celebrities he's, because usually they kind of keep that private.
All right. Let's try it again.
Okay. I want to know which celebrities he's seen. I guess that's inappropriate.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Stanley?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear us?
I can hear you very dimly.
Okay.
Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm actually on a landline.
You are?
Let me see if there's a way of turning the volume up. Hang on 1 second.
Okay, thanks.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
I can hear you fine. Can you hear us?
Okay. It's kind of dim, but we'll do our best.
Okay. Great. Hi. How are you? We were just talking about you, Stanley. We're so excited to talk to you. Your book is Your Brain on Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life. Where can people find this book right now?
The book can be bought in most bookstores and also online on Amazon or from the publisher at Sourcebooks online.
Okay, great.
Actually, can we call him right back to make sure we can get a better connection?
We don't have a great connection. We're going to call you right back.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Freaking Skype, I swear.
Can we get another?
I don't even use Skype anymore.
Why don't we just call from, like, you know, whenever you used to call your friends from the phone here, didn't you do something different?
No, it was the same thing.
Yeah, we're not happy with Skype lately either.
I've been, do you know who I've been using?
Who?
I use Gmail.
Oh.
That's what I use to do like video stuff and all that. It's way better. Oh, God damn it. It's, for some reason, effing Skype, dude, when I go to call somebody back, it like defaults to somebody on I don't know how they got added to our page, but it defaults and calls them, and then that guy's going to message me in like 3 seconds ago. Oh, did you just try to call me? No, I didn't try to call you, Jeff. I never try to call you. It's an accident.
We'll delete it. We'll go in and clean up Skype, right? We could do that.
Hello?
Hello.
All right. Hi. I think that's better.
Hi.
It's not breaking up.
Can you hear me? It's kind of still kind of low.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
so you're on a landline right now?
I'm on a landline, yeah.
Okay. Does it sound a little bit better?
Slightly better, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm going to have to listen really hard.
Okay. Great. Well, okay, so tell me, now why did you write this book, Your Brain on Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life? So what drove you to write this book?
Why did I write it?
Yes.
Well, I wrote it because over my 36 odd years of practice, the subject of sex inevitably comes up in therapy, and I made certain discoveries that I wanted to write about and tell people stories about.
Okay.
Among them is that if we really pay attention to sex and try to understand what our true desires are and where they come from and what they mean, we can really use sex to change our lives. We can use it to choose better partners, partners with whom we're sexually and even otherwise compatible, partners who we can not only have great sex with, but who we can trust and respect and feel generous towards.
So how do we do that? So what was the problem, and then why was this the solution? Like, people were just getting married or committing to people, but they weren't having good sex, and you're saying use sex to find that person, which is kind of the opposite, right?
Well, how we do it? Well, I describe in the book a kind of roadmap, or a process, which I call intelligent lust, which begins with an honest exploration of our fantasies. We really go through the process of examining what we think about what truly gets us off, or what images we have, what stories we tell ourselves. And then once we understand that, we need to do something extremely important and something we don't often think about in relation to sex, which is to go back and maybe dig a little bit around in our childhoods to see the relationship between what we sexualize and what our childhood experiences are. And the reason that I suggest that is because I really think that our fantasies and desires, and this is one of the discoveries over all these years, I think that these desires grow out of some unresolved childhood conflict or some
right.
unmet need that we eventually eroticize, usually during the heightened sexuality of adolescence or young adulthood. What seems to happen is our minds convert those painful feelings that associated with a past unresolved conflict or unmet need and turns those feelings into something pleasurable by linking it to sex.
That's so interesting.
In a sense,
yeah, that's what
the mind attempts to help us heal from those painful feelings. Just like the body produces immunities to help us heal from some wound.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying something very significant and probably unusual, maybe even radical, is that our desires and our fantasies grow out of these childhood conflicts.
I mean, I've definitely heard that before. I've heard that like about fetishes, like when people like fetishize certain things. But I have heard that about fantasies. Can you give us like a comment, like an example of a common fantasy?
And how?
Okay, thanks.
Here's one. Let's say we've grown up in a family in which we were deeply criticized. By the time we reach adolescence or maybe young adulthood, to cope with those feelings that we felt, which were probably humiliation, we probably will sexualize them and encode them in the stories of our fantasies and desires. So that when we are sexual, we begin to think about or even seek out sexual experiences in which we are equivalently shamed or verbally or even physically humiliated in a way that we're actually turning those painful feelings from childhood into pleasurable ones through these sexual acts which we're now in control of. So we go from that childhood criticism to feelings of humiliation, which we eroticize, to acting out those in fantasies and in real actions.
So is this something that's like, would you say that's a help? I mean, that is the process, but would you say that's cathartic? That's a way of dealing with it? Or are you saying there's like this other step after that? Like once you figure out that that's what you do?
Well, it's not only that's the psychological process
right.
that we go through, the process of continuing the healing is really using those desires and fantasies to guide us to people with whom we're sexually compatible. And what I mean by sexually compatible is that the other person will enjoy our true desires
right.
and may have desires of his or her own that complement ours.
Okay.
and doesn't necessarily mean that we need to have sex to find someone with whom we're compatible with, at least not right away. But what I recommend is that we begin to have conversations about sex in which we openly and honestly and discuss each other's fantasies and desires.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm always
and
telling people.
Pretty early on in dating, I would recommend.
Pretty early on in dating. Okay, so how early on in dating?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, no, I think I agree, and I think that so many couples don't talk about their fantasies.
That's right.
And so you're saying even early on in dating. So how early on do you think?
You know, I think very early on. I think, you know, too often we see couples in their 8th or 9th year no longer having sex.
Right.
Or suddenly one of them has this great desire which they've never discussed before, and it disrupts or even ruptures the relationship.
Right.
So part of the process of intelligent lust is really talking very early in the dating process. You know, just as we're discovering things about people's families and social backgrounds, economics, jobs, we should feel the same comfort in talking about sex.
Exactly.
You should be able to say to someone early in the dating experience, what was your best sexual experience?
Right.
What was missing from past sexual experiences?
Mm-hmm.
What would your ideal experience be? Why shouldn't we ask those things?
Yeah,
we need to value sex in that fashion.
What if people say, well, you know, some women say, for example, not, you know, I don't have any fantasies or I don't fantasize. What would you say about, do you think that everyone fantasizes or has the capability or should be fantasizing?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think sometimes fantasies happen so quickly we don't even register them.
Right.
And I think if we stop and really think about what really does get us off, I mean, for instance, if you go through the exercise of masturbating, it's pretty unlikely that you're not having a fantasy.
Right.
You know, or an image or a story that's happening very rapidly on your mind to get you off. And sometimes that even happens, you know, during sex. Sometimes we're much more in our thoughts than we're actually in the physical activities that we're engaging in.
Right.
So I think people who say they don't have fantasies probably do, but they just go unrecognized.
Right.
And most of us have fantasies that are different from one another. And that's because it's really based on our own unique story we create from, you know, the conflicts and unmet needs in our childhood experiences.
Right. I think that's, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a theory that I've heard a lot. That's where it goes to. So a lot of people have shame around their fantasies. So how do they get over that shame and feeling like their partner, this new person's going to judge them? Because what you're asking is, I mean, a lot of people don't even talk about, you know, deeper issues, you know, around work or around family. And then to say, well, you should talk about your sexual fantasies. I mean, how do you do that? What do you suggest to couples, how they talk about it?
I think if you're in a long-term relationship already, it's different than when you're just courting someone and seeing whether they might be the right partner for you. But if you're in a long-term relationship, I think you actually set aside a private time with your partner and you say to them, you know, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you about sex. Let's set up a time for that and make a very, very specific date. And stick to that date, and then with a lot of, you know, sensitivity and respect for your partner, to begin to talk about sex.
Right.
Like, you know, what do you feel sexually? How is it going between us? Are there things that are working out? Are there things that are not? Are there things that desires that you have that you really want to express?
It's almost like a questionnaire or something. Like you should have a questionnaire that you fill out and you can just read the questions to each other, your answers.
I think
it'd be helpful to have a questionnaire or something that you just fill out and you share with each other.
In the book, I, you know, have a questionnaire and even a scale in which people can independently rate their partner in terms of how they feel in terms of sexual compatibility. And then once done, people can share that information and start a very real conversation
I think that's great.
Whether they're compatibly sexual or not. And I think, you know, sometimes it's people find out that actually we're not. And then there's a decision about what to do.
Exactly.
But at least the issue is out in the open, where maybe it hadn't been, where maybe there was just kind of silence, or maybe there was anger that was about sex but got expressed in other ways. But some of the things that people do are interesting. I mean, sometimes someone will say, well, I don't really share your fantasy, but I really care about you, and I want you to be happy, and I don't want you to feel deprived or resentful, so I will go along with your fantasy.
Right.
That's one solution. Another solution is a very challenging one, in which some people decide to have other sexual partners, in which they open up their relationship and negotiate the details of, you know, each of them having sex with other people, because they say, I care about you. I don't want you to spend the rest of your life not having sex, because I'm not interested in what you like to do, nor do I want to spend the rest of my life not having sex. Now, that's a very, very unusual and difficult situation, but I've seen people successfully navigate that.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you that, because that is something that I've recommended, and I live in San Francisco, so there's a lot – I know a lot of people in open relationships, which is not as typical in the rest of the world, I guess, the rest of the country. But you have seen it work then in your practice, couples who have successfully opened up their relationship.
Yes.
Yes. But it takes –
it's definitely
tricky.
A process that – that takes place over time, in which you have to deal with issues of jealousy and rivalry and especially respect. But I think the thing that makes it work is that open conversation, and also the deep respect for placing the relationship first, so that regardless of what happens, whatever the needs of the relationship are at a particular moment, come before maybe the individual sexual needs.
Right.
So I've seen people say to a partner, I'm really horny tonight, and I want to have sex. And the partner says, you know, that doesn't feel good to me tonight. I'm, like, really worried about work, and I could really use just some comfort from you, so I would rather you not do that.
Right. It's just a matter of opening up the dialogue.
Deep respect, I think, which makes it work in those situations.
Yeah, they have to talk about it. Couples just don't talk about it.
Another solution is that couples break up.
Right.
You know, they discover after 9 years things that they should have been talking about, you know, before they got married.
Exactly. This is the thing. They have to talk before they get married.
Sex enough.
What about chemistry? Why do you think we feel chemistry with some people and not with others? How would you describe sexual chemistry?
Did you say texting?
Chemistry. No, sexual chemistry. Chemistry.
I'm missing you again. Sexual.
Chemistry, like the chemistry, sexual chemistry, like a chemist.
I'm sorry. This connection is so terrible, and I'm having such a good time.
I am too. Chemistry, like the
like a chemist.
Like a chemist who mixes chemicals.
Oh, yes?
Chemistry.
Oh, chemistry.
Yes.
Okay. Well, chemistry. Chemistry, I think, is really interesting, and it's not so mysterious. I think chemistry is the process of which we filter through our minds very rapidly those people, or through their characteristics that really could potentially meet our sexual desires and fantasies. So, you know, we may be someone who, let's say, eroticized being dominated because we grew up in families in which we were dominated more or less. And to survive that, we sexualize those feelings eventually, so that what was really horrible and painful for us is something that we becomes pleasurable. And so we'll look for the symbols of that in someone. We might look for someone with a strong, muscular body, someone, you know, with extremely masculine face, if it's a woman, because these represent to us those things that may really reach these deep desires.
Right. Okay. Because that's always a thing. Like, we always wonder why you have chemistry with one person and not with another?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think that, you know, if my interest is to be submissive, then I'm going to look for very different things in people. And that person who tells me through their body language, through their physicality, through how they speak, that they're going to be dominant,
right?
Then I'm going to respond to that. If I meet someone who, you know, is soft and sweet and tender, that's not really going to give me a sense of chemistry.
Exactly.
My deepest desire is to be dominated.
Right. Well, I think it's a really important book you wrote, that because it shows that people really should pay attention to their sex life and their fantasies and what's going on. Because I have a lot of friends who are sort of in this zone now that are, they've been married for 10 years, 15 years, and the sex is just gone away. They've never talked about it. And it's like, it's just, it's a conversation that you have to have. So your book really, you know, forces people to take a look at it. So I think that's, it's a really important book that you wrote.
Thank you. I mean, that's one of the most common problems.
Yep.
That sexual interest leaves a relationship or a marriage. And I really believe it's because people aren't really knowing who they are sexually, knowing their deepest desires, and certainly not communicating it with them.
Exactly. They got to learn. So they got to read your book. They got to find out how to talk about it. It's called
Your
Brain on
that.
Sex, How Smarter Sex Can Change Your Life. And they can get it on Amazon?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon. Yes. And you can read more in the Psychology Today column I write.
Oh, great.
PsychologyToday.com. It's called Intelligent Lust.
Okay. And I have a quick question for you. How come he says that you are a therapist to the celebrities?
I lost you again.
Oh, it says you're a therapist to the celebrities.
Oh.
It's in your bio.
I've had the good and bad fortune, I guess, over the years of having a fair number of well-known known patients in my practice. And that's the kind of thing that happens by word of mouth.
Right. Okay. You can't say who any are, right? Because it's all confidential.
No.
we just have to believe you. Okay. Stanley Siegel, thank you so much. We'll put this all on the website. And this is great, great information. I think every couple should read this book. Every individual. I think it's great. It's important.
I really appreciate
it's important
it.
Work you that you're
much.
Doing. So thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye. That is the biggest issue. I can't tell you, man. So many of my friends, I told you this, in the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
been with their partner for 8 years, 10 years, and they're like, we're not having sex. What do we do? Can we get it back? This is a really good book that people can read to help them get it back. It helps you break it down, because I'm like, talk to them about sex. They're like, we can't talk about it. We haven't talked about it in 10 years. Now we're going to talk about it. So this book will kind of break it down for you and help you talk about it with your partner.
He doesn't find you attractive anymore. That's what's going on.
Shut up. That's not always the case.
That's not always the case. Oh,
not the
so
case.
You admit that it is some.
No, sometimes you just fall out of lust, but I think you can get it mm-hmm. back, says Stanley Siegel. You might have to open up the relationship. Yeah. You never know. Okay. Everyone.
I was going to say something so brutal, but I'm going to skip it.
To me?
No, just in general. Tell me about your last, because I've been riveted by the past 18 minutes with that guy on the phone. Tell me about your last sexual experience.
What?
This, I'm just throwing that out there because I want to liven it up.
I was riveted. You weren't riveted?
I wasn't riveted.
I know, because you weren't talking.
Huh?
I thought it was really interesting.
I was listening. I was blown away by all the facts.
Okay. My last sexual experience, which part?
How'd it go?
It was awesome.
It was awesome?
Yeah. He performed oral sex on me for a good amount of time, which was...
Which you love.
Which I love, and it was awesome. And then we had sex, a lot of sex.
You need to learn how to break
to
down
articulate
your sex.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had oral sex, then I performed oral sex, and then I was on top, he was on top.
How did the oral sex happen? Were you already naked, or did he take your pants off and then on you?
He undressed me.
Where were you? His house, your house?
My house.
In the park?
My house. My house. And then the time before that, though, it was in the hallway and it was hot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. This is where it was. Okay. This was recently.
Okay.
Had sex on my butcher block table in my kitchen.
Really?
And that was really hot. We like moved everything off the table mm-hmm. and he like threw me down on the butcher block table and we had sex. And it was friggin' hot.
Was the dog there?
yapping away?
The dog was in the kennel.
Okay.
Dog was in the
where he stays all the time now.
No, she doesn't always stay in the kennel. No, she doesn't always stay. But that's what you got to do when you're having sex, because the dog's just going to sit there staring at you, licking
and sniffing your butthole.
Yeah, or sniffing her butthole. And so, what was your last sexual experience?
You
don't remember.
Yeah, I was kind of wasted last time.
Okay, whatever. That's so boring, Menace.
No, my last sexual experience, yeah, I was kind of wasted.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Okay, we're done with the show.
But it's Sex with Emily. I want to know your sex life.
I'll tell you more tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Thursday. You promise you're gonna break it down?
Yeah.
Thursday. You're going to describe things, not to say we just had sex.
Yes. I just described the butcher block table.
Barely. It's going to be better on Thursday. We're going to
better
pump
on
it
Thursday.
Up.
I'll work it up. I'll work on it.
You're going to work on it.
I got it.
You're going to take notes.
Yep.
And say, okay, so it was around 7 o'clock. We're on TV. And then I saw, Kim Kardashian. And then I was feeling kind of horny because maybe I wanted to make out with Kim Kardashian. And then I went over and then
okay.
I started making
That's
out with the
so
partner
not
next
happen.
To me.
I'll tell you about
no,
it.
No, I'm just giving you examples on how to lay it down. And then slowly he unbuttoned my pants.
Oh, then this is like erotica off. With Emily? I don't usually break down my sex life, but since you're asking, I will do it.
Good.
Okay.
That's what people want to hear.
They don't want to hear about okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. Thanks, right. Everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.